Do they think of me now in those strange Asian villages where nothing ever seemed quite human, but myself and my few grim friends moving through them, hunched in lines? When they tell stories to their children of the evil that awaits misbehavior, is it me they conjure?
That was poet, teacher, and Vietnam veteran Bill Earhart reading his poem, Making the Children Behave, at a reading yesterday in Philadelphia. Good writing often has its roots in trauma, and for Americans who served in the Vietnam War, it's sometimes hard to separate personal trauma from their anger at the government that sent them to a war they felt or came to feel was unjust. NewsWorks Tonight producer Shai Ben-Yakov spoke with several veterans about their poetry, excerpted in a book, A Shadow on Our Hearts, Soldier, Poetry, Morality, and the American War in Vietnam. Shai started out by asking poet and veteran Lamont B. Steptoe, who is black, about the role of race during the war.
Our interactions with the Vietnamese people were mostly on two levels, well, three levels. One, either as the enemy. Two, as prostitutes. And three, as the ones who shined our boots and did our laundry. And my first week there, one of the women, her name was Lynn, L-I-N, and she looks at me and she says, you same monkey. I said, what? She said, you same monkey. You know, and of course you can imagine what my response was. But and some of them would even walk behind black soldiers to see if we had a tail. Now, where were they getting this? A lot of times they were being told this by white soldiers, racist white soldiers, you know. But that was the first time a Vietnamese person looked at me and said, you same monkey.
What role do you think the environment, some of the poetry deals with the otherness of the environment itself? Did that, you know, also play a role in your poetry?
Almost anywhere you're going to be is going to be the other. You know, being operating in areas that were largely rice farming, you know, a very, very rudimentary agricultural and fishing environment, the place stank. I remember my very first thought was, Jesus, these people stink. This place, they don't even smell like human beings. And I was shocked by my own reaction, but that's the way it turns out I'm the one who stank. They could smell me a mile away. You learn to not use soap and stuff because otherwise the VC knew you were out there. So it was alien. On the other hand, I think it's less alien environment than it is the alien nature of being in a war.
Jan, I think you do sometimes do talks. Do you ever talk to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans? Have you ever had any interaction with them?
I do, primarily through writing workshops that I've either participated in and or coordinated. War is such chaos. We're imposing a storyline. And one of the things that I think poetry helps with is you find one little tiny thread of it. And if you piece enough of these threads together, it's like you sort of start to see a little bit of a mosaic of what your own experience was. But this concept that there's this history of each war, and that's the way it was for all soldiers, is what we all had to work against, that everybody else assumes what our experiences were.
Interestingly enough, in 1995, I was studying at Yad Vashem in Jerusalem because witnessing in the Holocaust is, and the poetry that comes out of that is similar to this in what it does. And as part of that trip, I tried to make time to speak with Israeli veterans, both male and female, because it was just convenient to do. And I discovered that, lo and behold, it was exactly the same story with these kids on doing their reserve duty up on the Lebanon border or on the Golan Heights, and they had the same stories. What a surprise. And they were just as bitter and just as funny and just as pissed off as everybody else was.
So I'm not a veteran. I've never served in the military. And I just want to ask, you know, anybody who wants to answer, what is something that you hear frequently or that you feel that people who didn't have this experience misunderstand about it? What would you want to tell them?
I often get, welcome home. I just got it the other day. Like, what makes these people think I'm home? Because I tie my shoes and I don't drool? And then the other one is, thank you for your service. I went halfway around the world to kill, maim, and make miserable people who'd never done me or my country any harm, nor ever would or could. If you want to thank me for that, you should go talk to your priest.
The problem for me is that all of those memorials and, you know, and ticker tape parades and all of that and all of those things that were happening in the early 80s were actually part of a concerted effort to change the whole dialogue about Vietnam. So it became not don't send American troops for worthless causes. It became support the troops. So now even you hear very, you know, well-meaning anti-war people who feel like they have to preface every sentence that, well, I support the troops, but, you know? And, you know, my question is, how do you support the troops without supporting the cause that they're fighting in? You know, how do you separate those two?
I guess because of my aging, I weep a lot, especially when it comes to talking about Vietnam. It doesn't take much to... You know, I mean, I realize it's going to be this way for the rest of whatever time I have left. I have to live with a deep, deep sorrow when I think about how my youth ended in Vietnam.
That was Newsworks Tonight producer Shai Ben-Yakov speaking with Vietnam War veterans Lamont B. Steptoe, Jan Berry, Bill Earhart, John Backey, and Peter Mahoney.